Rabbi Galperin.
Hello.
Oh, we got you on the line. We did it.
Oh, how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. All is good.
Good.
You know what the lesson is. If you have the persistence, you have the will, it's going to work.
Exactly. It's almost like this Parshat HaShavua.
You see, everything falls into the right category, the right time, the right
place. They say little and do much.
That's right.
Okay, so let's go to Parshat HaShavua after we did this small miracle.
Well, this week's Torah portion is Parshat Vayera, a beautiful Torah portion, how God reveals himself to Abraham 3 days after the first Jewish person has a circumcision at the age of 99, which is Abraham. But Abraham rushes off to prepare a meal for the three guests who appear to him in the desert heat. And one of the three who are angels, they're disguised as men, announced that in exactly 1 year, the barren Sarah will give birth to a son. And Sarah laughed.
Because she wasn't so young.
That is correct. And that is why God told Abraham that you will name your son that is born Yitzchak from Chok, from the Hebrew word of laughter,
yeah.
Of laughing. So, you know, as well as you've seen this week's Torah portion, Abraham pleads with God to spare the wicked of Sodom, that they shouldn't destroy them, and Lot, Abraham's nephew, was going to be, he lives there, and he was going to be leaving, and he's leaving with his wife, and Hashem told his wife that he should not look back. If she looks back, she turns back into a pillar of salt. And we see that as the parsha goes on, God remembers his promise to Sarah, and he gives her an Abraham a son, who is named Isaac. Isaac is circumcised at the age of 8 days, and Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah is 90 at the child's birth. Now, we see one of the most amazing parts of this big Torah portion, as well as one of the biggest tests. Abraham was tested by the devotion of him to God, by God commanding him to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And Isaac is bound and placed on the altar, and Abraham raises his knife to slaughter his son, and a voice from heaven calls up, stop!
Don't do it.
A ram is caught in the undergrowth by its horns, and that is told, that, take that ram and put that in Isaac's place. It's interesting to note that ram was actually brought down in some of the Farshim, some of the explanations, that ram was put there by God, by the creation of the world, for the purpose of this. So it's very interesting. There's the famous question that everyone asks, or that a lot of people ask, is why did Abraham protest so strongly on behalf of the handful of the old lowlifes of Sodom, of the Sodomites, that God should not destroy them? He's begging God, he's pleading to God. And yet, he submitted very silently when God commanded him to sacrifice his own son.
Yeah.
Why does he pray to God, ask God, how can you make me do this? I'm 100, my wife is 90, we just had a son, maybe you should allow, let me enjoy him a little bit.
No.
Oh, but he doesn't say anything. Why? And we take a look at the way that God speaks to Abraham in both instances. Concerning Sodom, God informs Abraham that the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah has become great, and their sin has become very grave. And I will descend now and see whether according to the cry which has come to me, they have done. In other words, I will wreak destruction upon them, is what it says in the Torah. And something similar occurs with Moshe during the golden calf.
Yeah.
When God tells him, now leave me alone and my anger will be kindled against them so that I will annihilate them. Now as Rashi, the commentator, puts it, was Moses holding on to God that God had to say, leave me alone? God told him by the golden calf, now leave me alone. Why did God have to say that? Moses was holding on to him. So Moses understood that it was his job to argue with God, which he did. So Moses was being told by God, leave me alone, stop arguing. Similarly, when God informed Abraham of his impending judgment of Sodom, he understood what God wanted of him, to argue. Otherwise, God had no reason to inform him of what his intended action would be. So, argue he did. God told Moses, I'm going to come down and I want to see what I'm going to do, how I'm going to destroy. That was a sign to Moses, no, I need to argue. Now, concerning Isaac, God literally pleads with Abraham, as it says in the Torah, please take your son. He then understood that this was not something to argue about. God tells him, you had a son, please take him and bring him up as a sacrifice. What God was saying, and this is something that we can apply to every single one of our daily, today lives, it's the same with every Jew. We have a deep relationship with God. We aren't just robots. There are times, the times of prayer, when we argue with God concerning the way He runs His world. And then there are times when we need to just accept. We need to accept this is God's judgment. This is what God says. This is what God wants us to do. How do we know which path is appropriate in any given situation? So many people want to know, how do you know when should I argue? When should I accept? We know, as it's brought down in Kabbalah, when we are in tune with our neshama, with our soul deep inside, and the neshama is in tune with God above. Our soul is in tune with God. Our soul knows what God wants us to do and what God wants us not to do or just to accept. And if we are in tune with our neshama, with our soul, then automatically we are in tune with God. So Avram wanted to avert a punishment intended for the people of Sodom. And the binding of Isaac wasn't indeed intended as a punishment. It was to be a great privilege for Isaac to be sanctified as a sacrifice to God. So Isaac was Avram's only son at such an old age. Avram was in tune with his neshama, with his soul. His soul was in tune with God. And he knew that now is the time to fight and to plead and ask God not to destroy. And now is the time to accept what God wants us to do and do what God wants us to do. And that was his biggest test that he had. It was the final test. And he passed it. Okay, obviously he was a tzaddik, a righteous man. He can pass it. Not a big deal. But how do we as human beings, not tzaddikim, not holy people do that? And that's what Avram and the Torah is teaching us. That there are times that we're going to argue with God and ask God, why this, why that, why weren't you here, where were you? Then there are times that we just say, this is what God wants me to do, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to accept it. But what makes it easier for me to do that and how to be able to focus on that is when I'm in tune with my neshama, with my soul. And automatically, my neshama, my soul, is in tune with God. Then, I don't look at it as, why am I doing this? Then I look at it and say, wow, this is what God wants me to do. This is what I'm going to do. And I accept it. So that's one of the huge lessons that we can learn from this week's Torah portion.
That's a nice parsha.
I'm so sorry.
We missed the one last week because I was away. That was a beautiful one too.
Oh, Lech Lecha, going out from your land, from your birthplace, from your mother's home, from everything that is naturally, that you have a natural environment and that you're happy with and you're comfortable. God says, go out into the world. That's our purpose.
Yeah.
To go into the world and change the world and do something good for the world.
And he did again. He did it without saying everything.
That's right.
He left everything and start walking.
Absolutely. So that's the beauty of when you believe in God.
Yeah. So Rabbi, Hanukkah is approaching us.
Hanukkah is approaching. It's around the corner. And this year, as we always do every year, we try and do a menorah that we can give back to the community. So this year we're going to be again lighting a menorah in the Devonshire Mall, and it's going to be the Light of Warmth, which is going to be Wednesday, November 27th, which is the first night of Hanukkah at 4 o'clock in the Devonshire Mall food court. And this year's theme is going to be, we're going to be making a giant stock menorah. So people are going to, can bring socks and mittens and gloves, whatever it may be. And they're all going to be going to donating to the Street Help Unit 7 Homeless Services, which is the organization that literally you come in, whether you be homeless, just on the verge of being homeless, no questions asked. They serve meals and they give people whatever they need. They serve anywhere between 130 and 150 meals every single, 150 people, I'm sorry,
every single day.
So this is something, and as well as we have a phenomenal person, teenager in the community, that's going to be joining and partnering with us, and that is Sarah Lewis.
The young Sarah Lewis.
The young Sarah Lewis, who has been written up all over the news about it, and the Governor General has spoken about her, and so therefore she's been very excited about it and is joining us with doing the big stock drive, as well as we're also going to be doing, you know, Windsor Regional Hospital is going to be getting involved as well. And so it's going to be beautiful. So anyone that wants to donate socks can drop them off at the JCC or the Shara Shemayim or at Chabad 1420 Victoria. So we're starting now, and the goal is to raise a couple of thousands of pairs of socks and mittens that we can then give to the people that are less fortunate.
That's a great idea. So, Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too.
And God willing, we'll talk next week.
God willing. Be well. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Be well. Okay. Bye-bye.